Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
A special Thursday edition of the Carl Banks Report brought to you by Geico. Saving you money on car insurance has been in Geico's playbook for over 75 years. So what are you waiting for? Get a quote at geico.com by Spine and Rehabilitation Center in New Jersey. In pain, call 833-NJ-HERTZ today by Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa. Visit one of their 80 locations in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, or book online at handandstone.com. And by your local Kia dealer, where quality and style meet rugged performance. Learn more at kia.com. Give it everything. The great Carl Banks. How are you, Carl?
Carl, how are you?
I'm doing good, but Joe, I think I might need to take Evan up on that ad for NJ Hertz. I got to get a chiropractor, man. My back is starting to be a bit out of line. Too much golf, maybe?
Is that what it is, or is it like from your playing days and a chronic issue, Carl?
Well, we don't go there. There's always maintenance when you've been in as many collisions as I have, but I've been pretty good. Just started to act up a little bit on me, so I'm going to have to get a little maintenance done here.
There you go.
Let me tell you one thing I've learned, because I'm not even kidding. Every 6 months, my back acts up, really, from one incident, which is getting run over by a taxi while I was biking. And the one thing I've learned over the years is stretching, just laying out, just stretching. Every part of my body helps. So
yeah, I do. I do a lot of that. So we got to figure out who in sales has the NJ Herb people.
They got to get it done.
I'm not sure who that is.
I'm sure they're listening.
I'm curious, because Joe and I were a little bit in the first hour reminiscing on Giants Eagles. From my generation, I always think, and I hate to say it because it's a negative, I always think of the DeSean Jackson game, the Matt Dodge DeSean Jackson game. In your playing days, good or bad, is there one Giant Eagle moment or game that jumps out at you?
Well, it's still the top 10 on Monday Night Football, the Randall Cunningham goal line play that I was involved in. That's the one that the Eagles fans, every time they see me, they throw up, and is a great moment. And it really was a great moment. But just, I would say the period of Randall Cunningham as a whole, that era was some of the most memorable football that the Giants Eagles had, because they were just so good defensively that it took, if we couldn't beat them, it was always Washington that they couldn't handle. Like, they had our number, but Washington had their number, and we had Washington's number. And that's, the way that the division went. But that period with Seth Joyner and Clyde Simmons and the late Reggie White and Randall and Mike Quick, those guys. And even,
Jerome Brown. Don't forget Jerome Brown.
Yeah,
the late Jerome Brown as well. How good was he, Carl?
Chris Carter. Man, they were really, really good football team that I think had they had a little more structure offensively, they would have been unstoppable, because Randall was just such a great player. So that is a period that's indelibly etched. Obviously, I was a part of that and part of one of the greatest moments on Monday Night Football with Randall Cunningham. But then, they won a lot of games with Donovan McNabb. They had a lot of success offensively with him there, and they just couldn't get over the hump. But it was some fun stuff. OC having six sacks in one game against them. It was a lot of fun to watch. It's a great memory as well.
Was that a Sunday night game? Wasn't that a Sunday night game? That game with
I'm
the
not
sacks?
Sure if it was a Sunday night game or not. I remember calling that game. No, it wasn't a night game. It was a day game.
Was it?
Okay. Or a late afternoon game. I remember just like it was almost the tackle in that game almost became a sympathetic.
Wasn't it a guy named Winston Justice? Wasn't that the guy who he just abused in that game? Yeah.
Yeah.
Six sacks, I remember
like
that.
He became a sympathetic figure, and I love dominant defensive players that just beat a guy into just beat him into pulp, but this was in submission. But this was almost sympathetic, man. It was just like, God, get this guy out of here.
Yeah. I think it was like one of the first games the kid ever starred in his career too. So it was a real welcome to the NFL kind of moment, getting destroyed by OC in that game. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Carl, just a couple games, we were talking to Carl Banks about it back in the 80s. And I was at this game. The game was brutal, one of the coldest days I can ever remember at the Meadowlands in 89. And it was the game where Randall had the 90-yard punt.
Yeah.
You remember that, the 90-yard punt against you guys?
The ball just kept going. I mean, I don't know how far it went in the air, but by the time it stopped, it was 90 yards, and he might have punted the darn thing 75.
Something like
of
that.
Of the 90.
Yep.
I mean, he put it – I mean, he was just such a great player and a big threat, but
tremendous.
It was just –
tremendous
that
player.
Was a moment.
Tremendous. And then he reinvented himself in Minnesota. Really should have went to the Super Bowl that year. In 98, and then they lost that championship game to Atlanta. He had that great year with Randy Moss and Chris Carter. What a year!
Yeah, that was
15-1.
The late who I don't know who the offensive coordinator was
Billick.
There, but it was
Brian Billick.
Billick was the offensive coordinator. Yeah.
Yeah, he did a great job.
Dennis
him.
Green was the coach.
You almost forget about Billick because the following year he's in Baltimore as the head coach, where his teams were always defensive first, and they had great offense.
Right. Exactly. Completely different. Yep.
Funny how it works. Looking at tonight, I mean, look, this game will change the complexion of the season. They win tonight, they're right in the middle of this thing in the NFC East. If they lose, they're 1-6, and they've created a big hole, even in a lousy division. Give me your feel. They're coming off a win. We know how wild it was on Sunday, Ron Rivera making the choices he made. As we go into this game, feeling the trend of them over the last few weeks as compared to Philly, where's your kind of feel for this team going into the game tonight?
I feel okay about them, but it's always little things. And then in Philadelphia, especially there at the Link, you just can't afford to have the unforced errors. Because Philly it's common like in every year, but they have shown an ability to stay in games, to hang around, and pull that miracle out of their hat at the end of the game. And you just don't want to be in that situation down there. But I like some of the things that the Giants are doing, especially now that they're running the football, they're getting a lot more accomplished in terms of staying on schedule. They'll be challenged. Their offensive line will be challenged again this week because Philadelphia has four really good individual pass rushers. So they put pressure on every player across that offensive line. So they're going to have to win their individual battles before they even get into some of the stunts and tricks that Philadelphia can present. They don't do a lot of it because their guys are just so good up front individually, but they've got to hold up individually. And then defensively, the Giants are going to have to be good on first down. I think what we saw last week from Washington is they didn't play into the Giants' hands and try to run the ball on first down where the Giants are really good. On first down there, they passed the ball on first down and got themselves in second and five, second and four situations. So defensively, the back end of their defense has got to be alert for passes on first down so that they can create a second and 10 situation and discourage Philadelphia from trying to get those swing passes out into the flats and a guy, scampering for 5 or 6 yards. And staying ahead of schedule, because when they pass the ball, what Washington did to the Giants' defense. The Giants just, they struggled to get on schedule their defense because they were allowing these 5 and 6 yarders. And then if you run for two, it's a third and two, third and three. And the Giants can't be, that's not how they play well. They play well when they can get an offense in some third, 5, 6, 7 yarders, and their defensive backs can be a little better at what they do, but that's going to be their challenge.
You know, Carl, the Giant defense to me is really coming on. I mean, we talked about it. It seems to be really coming together. They've gotten a lot better. You know, the additions of different guys on this team have really made this it's really molding into a solid unit as we go forward. How about that?
I think that's a good assessment. I think it starts, given the fact that they have a revolving door at the cornerback position opposite of James Bradbury, their safeties are revolving just based on the game and the situations throughout the course of the game. I think it's because the defensive front has been so consistent, it has helped them be a consistent defense as a whole, given, you know, some of their deficiencies haven't been exploited to the level that we would expect them to be. Now, obviously, in a close game, teams are picking on the weak link. We see that every week. But it's taken, you know, kind of a play to pull out of their hat and create a matchup, meaning, you know, the Giants' offensive opponents, as opposed to having a steady diet of picking on the weak link. And that's because guys up front, their front four and Blake Martinez and Kyler Fackrell are doing such a good job up there that they can do some, they allow Patrick Graham to have more flexibility in what he can do with a shorthanded defensive backfield.
We're talking to Carl Banks, Giants-Eagles tonight. You'll hear Carl on the Fan, Bob Papa, all the action coming up a little after 8 o'clock for kickoff. It looks like there's a chance, at least, that Sterling Shepard's going to play. He's been activated from IR now, you know, before the game. He'll work out a little bit, and we'll see if he's out there. What does that do to the offense in your mind if Shepard is out there?
Well, it gives the Giants an extra receiver that is a reliable receiver when he's healthy. He catches the ball, he runs good routes, and it makes it a lot harder for coverages to just rotate towards their number one receiver, because they only have, in Slayton, that's their biggest threat right now, because we haven't seen Evan Engram become a consistent contributor during the course of drive. You know, any individual series or drive that the Giants have, it doesn't, you know, Evan Engram doesn't factor as a threat throughout that series. So having a guy like Sterling Shepard alongside of Slayton is two guys that are going to be consistent. Now, I don't know what the game plan calls for if he plays and how Evan Engram factors into that, but you know, to get a third guy out there will really help Daniel Jones in terms of, you know, legitimate targets that he can count on.
You know, Carl, this game, it's such a crazy year with the NFC East being as bad as it is. I mean, Giants win this game, they're in the mix. I mean, there's no question about it. But if they lose this game, you kind of like, one in six, where are they really going, even with the division being so bad? I really think if they're going to have any kind of a real season, that they got to win tonight. Do you agree with that?
Well, yes, I do. But I think their focus cannot be on division standings per se. Their job is to get better and to execute, because that'll lead to a win, and that will allow them to look at themselves in the division. Right now, they just can't go into this game saying, man, if we win this game, we're going to be, you know, tied for first place in the division. It's, no, we got to finish our job, and then we can look at the standings. Because when you look ahead and you have as many vulnerabilities as the Giants have, it's a recipe for disaster. They're not good enough to look at a schedule and say, okay, this is one, we win it. we're at the top of the division. They're still a work in progress. They have a job to do, and if they do that job, then after the game, they can look at their standings. But they cannot afford to go in that locker room and have some pregame speech saying, look, guys, if we win this game, we're at the top of the division, blah, blah, blah. No, guys, we got to do our job. Let's just win this game because the division will take care of itself if they win football games. It's just that simple. And if they lose the game, it should still be the same way. Back to the drawing board. The standings will be what they are, and you will be what your record says it is, but you can't cancel the season. So their best option is to go out, do their best, execute, and win the game, but not look too far into where they stand because they're one play away from losing a game or winning a game. That's the type of team they are now. They don't have a large margin for error. They just don't. They don't overcome it, and they make mistakes at the wrong times during the course of games. So they've got to just focus on their job.
You look at the injuries that Philadelphia has, you know, especially Miles Sanders being a big one. Both tight ends are out. We figure Boston Scott's going to have a bigger role like he did last year in that 3-touchdown game. But one guy I'm thinking about, because he's on the field about three or four times a game, and you figure as the season goes on, his role's only going to expand, and that's the quarterback, Jalen Hurts. I mean, they used a second-round pick on him, and I figured, hey, he may not take Carson Wentz's job, but he's going to be a part of this offense. And I noticed last week he was out there 7 times, which was higher than the previous weeks. What do you expect from kind of the Jalen Hurts factor here? Because you have to think as this season goes on, they're going to throw a few more gadget plays and mysteries at you with Jalen Hurts out there.
Well, of course they will, because of Jalen Hurts' skill set as a runner. He can pass the football. I won't say he's a skilled passer, but he's an above-average passer. He's a good enough passer for a guy like Doug Peterson, who in my opinion is one of the best play callers in the NFL right now, to start to put some things together to try to catch the Giants off guard. So they just have to be disciplined, the Giants, in what they do. I don't think you can commit to adding, you know, a personnel person to just eye him. You just got to play your assignments because you don't know. You can't defend ghosts. You haven't seen enough of Jalen Hurts to know what he's capable of at the NFL level. You know what his skill set is, so you just have to be alert when he comes in the game, but you can't dedicate a guy to him and it removes somebody from your defense if he's just a decoy.
Giants may be able to run the ball fairly well. You think they'll be able to run the ball on his team, call or not?
Well, they're trending in the right direction, put it that way. And I think they will have some success running the football. I just think that they're starting to find some cohesion and finding some things that work for the running back and the running backs and the offensive line.
Now let's get the keys to this game, and they are brought to you by your local Kia dealers. Visit Kia.com to see what it means to give everything, introducing the first ever Kia K5 out with the old and with the turbocharged new. What are the keys to getting this victory? A second straight win, which would be a winning streak, against the Eagles tonight.
Well, I think the keys for the Giants offense will be, number one, ball security. Number two, offensive line winning their individual battles and paying attention to the little things. Defensively, it's all about their communication. They've got to be disciplined up front. They cannot allow Carson Wentz to escape the pocket going from right to left. If he's going to escape, he's got to do it up the middle of the pocket. You got to box him in and limit his ability to extend plays by getting outside on the perimeter. So their pass rushers definitely have to be, their edge pass rushers have to be disciplined and make sure that they get him to step up in the pocket so that he doesn't extend on the outside.
Hmm. They win tonight, Carl, yes or no?
I'm not in that prediction game. They're not good enough for me to predict anything.
All right. You're confident. You feel good about the game. Let me ask you that. You feel good about it.
I don't know. I don't have a feeling on it. I'm gonna wait and see.
All right.
Just, you know, because there's just too many things that happen during the course of a game, and I don't have expectations. I'm just charting this thing.
I understand.
Now, be honest with me about this. Is there a part of you that's very excited that you don't have to drive down to Philadelphia and deal with everything that's involved in being in Philadelphia, that you get to do this game from the practice facility, which I know is a part of this weird 2020 we're living in, but are you kind of relieved about that, that you don't have to go to that city?
Well, for all the right reasons, I'm relieved. Obviously, being a broadcaster and being in an in-game environment is always a plus. But given, the world we live in, and we're having enough complications navigating our own environments right now on a daily basis. So to go into the link, and they're letting fans in, so that's another variable.
Are they really letting fans in, Tom, in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, they announced that recently. It's
so
stunning.
That's a variable you got to deal with because it's more people. And then you don't know, obviously, everybody, NFL has a protocol for how they're handling these things in arena, but that protocol changed when fans come in. So
right,
I don't
right.
know what that is. And us having to inadvertently interact with people just walking through crowds to get to where we have to go is something that, I'm relieved that I don't have to deal with that.
No, I get you. Well, Carl, have a good broadcast, man. Should be an interesting night.
Thank you, man.
All right,
thank
man.
You, Carl.
Be well, Carl.
Carl Banks, Giants, Eagles. Yeah, 7,500 fans tonight at the link. And if you are thinking about going to StubHub because you're like curious, like, hey, I can't go to a game at MetLife. Let me go down to Philadelphia. You can imagine the prices. They're not cheap, put it that way.
No, I'm sure.
Well,
I'm
supply and demand, there aren't a lot.
Right. No, I get it.
You go on StubHub right now, there are 68 tickets for sale. That's it.
That's
so,
it?
Yeah, there's only 7,500.
How much are they charging?
No. Well, there's 7,500 people at the stadium. If you go on StubHub right now.
500? Five bills?
If you want to sit upper level, it's about 350. It kind of range. It's about in the $300 range to get a ticket.
Wow.
Which is not a surprise. I mean,
no, I'm not. I'm not surprised.
Supply and demand, baby.
Yep.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.